Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and through the internet deliver it to you. My name is Reverend Todd Laddick, and today I'm bringing to you part 8 of an 8-part Lenten series entitled Through the Valley, with today's message is specifically entitled Lament and Love, based off of John chapter 13 verses 1 through 17. So let us dive into the Word today. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand what I'm doing now, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never, ever wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands and my head as well, Lord, not just my feet." Jesus replied, "A person that has bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you." For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, "Not all of you are clean." After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." Amen. In both our joys and sorrows, Jesus commands us and shows us how to be a community committed to love in action. Being a pastor can be a challenge because you are dealing with people during every step of their lives, from the cradle to the grave. The pastor's role is to spiritually care for people. And I've had to be with people during their most vulnerable times, during the birth of a stillborn baby, to the death of a 25-year-old from cancer, through divorces, addictions, etc. I remember when I was working as a chaplain at a certain continuing care retirement community just down the hill from us, and I had built a relationship with many people there, caring for them and truthfully, them caring for me. And that's an amazing thing in spirit, in a pastoral ministry that you really get to see is not only how you care for people, but they in turn care back for you, and it's a symbiotic relationship. But anyway, I had built a relationship with many people there, caring for them and truthfully, again, them caring for me. One such gentleman, I'll call Joe just for the sake of this message. Joe was an amazing guy. He was a cute older man. Wore a bow tie, had a smile on his face every time you saw him. Him and his wife would both put a smile on my face every time I saw them. And here's what I've learned. Community. Ministry is about community. One day, I received the call I dreaded would happen. Joe was in the hospital, unresponsive, and the family needed me to pray over Joe and to be with him. When I arrived in the room, I wasn't sure I would be able to pull it off. I had a great relationship with him, and this was going to be hard, plain and simple. And there I stood, silently looking at Joe lying there in the bed. And I bent over and began to pray aloud for Joe. It was a sincere prayer, and I was in tears while praying it. I prayed for Joe to know that God was with him, and that he was loved, and that it was okay to go home with God, that healing comes in that way too. I prayed for him, for his wife, for his family. I prayed and I prayed. Then, when the prayer was over and I said amen and opened my tear-soaked eyes, I saw Joe staring straight up at me with a familiar smile. "Pastor, that was the most beautiful prayer." I almost fell over. He was not conscious, or if he was, he was no longer. I laughed so hard, and he laughed too, and in the midst of what was a lamentable situation, someone I loved was dying. There was peace, there was community, there was healing. Now, Joe did die later that week. However, we shared a moment that actually served me in my moment of grief, as much as I'm sure it served him. Joe was going to be okay, and so would I. It was a most beautiful death. In times of lament, trouble, grief, and great uncertainty, people have different experiences of community. Amazing, bad, non-existent, and everything in between. This week's scripture shows us the kind of community Jesus calls us to be and wants for us, especially in difficult times filled with grief. While this passage does not deal directly with lament, Jesus' words and actions here are deeply relevant to the question of how we are called to be and act in the midst of sorrow, pain, and grief. Even after this past Sunday's weeping over Jerusalem and knowing that Judas would betray him, Jesus remained committed to love to the end, as we see in verse 1. Think about what else Jesus could have done that night. He could have left the disciples or just acted as if everything was fine. But instead, he chose to prepare them for the trials and grief they would soon face and for life beyond his death. Through the gifts of foot washing and a new commandment. Foot washing is an intimate act here. And Jesus was caring for his disciples, teaching them and passing the mantle to them. Jesus shows vulnerability and disrobing and humility and getting down and washing someone's feet. He's the master, they're the students, and yet he's washing their feet. And he does this as one who is both divine, but also human. After Jesus' death on the cross and his return to his friends and disciples, he shows that vulnerability again in the invitation to see and touch his side. Human touch is present and part of being in community, as we see here in this scripture and in others. Jesus is preparing his disciples for the kind of community they will need in their grief and as they emerge from it, one of mutual service and vulnerability. Jesus models being able to carry the grief about his betrayal through this time, to carry it and still move forward and serve and love. Now, Jesus is modeling, but also commanding. Just as I have done, you must also do. As we see in verses 14 through 15 and in verse 34. In this series, we've talked about communal lament. Jesus is showing here what loving, supportive community looks like. There is solidarity, willingness to get in the muck with each other, literally getting our hands dirty and feet clean. The disciples have been arguing about who is closest to Jesus. But he is showing them that none is greater than the other. There's work to be done, and it is humbling work. Friends, verse 14 gives us our call to action this week. How can you serve someone else or serve others with humility? How can you serve someone else with humility? Verse 14 says, since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. Since I'm doing it for you, you ought to do it for each other. So again, how can you serve someone else? Or how can you serve others with humility? The Voice translation of the Bible offers this reflection. Within the pain and the filth, there is an opportunity to extend God's kingdom through an expression of love, humility, and service. When Jesus sees disease, he sees the opportunity to heal. When he sees sin, he sees a chance to forgive and redeem. When he sees dirty feet, he sees a chance to wash them. Where do you see opportunity? Or where do you see something wrong or something you don't like? And how might you be able to shift and instead see that as an opportunity to love? Society celebrates beauty and wealth as markers of success, but let me remind you of how God's community operates on different values, not avoiding the dirty and humble, but diving in with an attitude of love, acceptance, and service. Friends, how can our community further embody the values that Jesus displays and teaches in this passage? Loving one another, showing humility, serving one another. We are doing the work Christ has called us to, but we must remember to keep our hearts in love with Christ. It is our love for Christ that will shape us into Christ's love. Amen? In times of pain and grief, this is all the more important and difficult to live out, as pain can instead often lead us to isolation, competitiveness, defensiveness. Sisters and brothers, we can learn to be open and honest about our lament, as Jesus was. And we can also learn to find opportunities to love amidst the temptation to fight or to flight. Together, we can support each other and discover new ways of serving others in love and in humility, making space for all to come, belong, and serve. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you and praise you for this message of hope, but also of challenge. Help us, Lord, to grow more like Christ, so that Christ may be reflected in all we do. Lord, help us to love each other as you first loved us, and help us to serve others in humility. For each and every one of us are loved by you, and each and every one of us are equally special to you. We thank you and we praise you for your sacrifice, which models to us the kind of sacrificial love we should be showing others. We pray these things in your holy name. Amen. Friends, thank you for tuning in on this special Maundy Thursday evening to listen to this message. I pray that the rest of your Holy Week is powerful, and I hope that you will tune in if you're not attending your own church tomorrow on Good Friday, I hope you'll tune in to First United Methodist Church of Newton's service. We will be having our live Good Friday Tenebrae service at 7 p.m., and that will be on YouTube. You just have to look for First United Methodist Church of Newton on YouTube, and our handle is Newton UM Church. Newton UM Church. So if you find Newton UM Church, that's us, and we'll be streaming live at 7 p.m. You can also go to our website at newtonumc.com, and on our worship page you'll see the link to the service as well. With that said, I hope you have a powerful rest of your Holy Week, and I look forward to you tuning in on Easter Sunday. Until then, remember, you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. Go in peace.